Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, you know, worshipped by slut bags everywhere.
That's Mr. Slutbag to you.
Magnificent. It's the New York...
A blessing from the Lord. God be praised.
In the New York Bureau, here he is, Fridays with People Singing right out of the box, hour one.
How about good that morning. New Pope, huh?
No foreplay, here he is, here he comes. Hello, hi, John Fugelsang.
Good morning, kids, greeting from the New York Bureau.
How about that new Pope? He's the first Pope to ever say gay.
He admitted the gay lobby first, remember that? He admitted last month there was a gay lobby. There's also a gay vestibule and quite a few gay hallways. Then he came out and said that, but you know, nothing changes. I mean, it's always been the Vatican policy. You can have gay priests as long as they're celibate. So he didn't really change anything. It's just a nice new tone we don't expect from a
and
man.
And you know how
dress.
He identified the gays in the gay lobby? He just poked his head out in the lobby.
Everybody gay!
He sounds just like that.
And they pretty much said...
Computer says yes.
Yes.
Well, he admitted they were gay priests, or as some call them, priests. And so that was a big, big step right there. We've had Father Gary Meyer on our show a couple times, who's a gay priest who wrote a memoir and then came out public last year that he was the author of it. And he has not been punished in any way by
that. Wow. Chris, and speaking of which, you might as well take your organ out now. Father Fugelsang?
Yes, my child.
We had yet again someone call this week and talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, and then we had all the letters about Chris said it's not about gays, it's about angel rape, and then someone else said no.
Because that's what you say. I was just quoting you.
Oh, Jesus lays it out. Jesus himself said it was about not being kind to people. It's not about not being kind to strangers.
I thought it was about being overfed and arrogant and not helping the poor and the needy.
Well, that's how it is before. They're horrible people in Sodom and Gomorrah. They worship animal sacrifice. They're drinking blood. They're wearing white after Labor Day. They're stealing Netflix from the neighbors. They're awful people. So long before any of this happens, those were the Sodomites and Gomorrahites. You don't hear too much about the Gomorrahites, just the Sodomites.
No,
they had more fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Lot and his family come in. And they're hiding out in this house.
Gomorrah's sort of like St. Paul. No offense.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Gomorrah's like the Tom Wopat of these two cities. You know what I'm saying? So then these angels come. They're called messengers in the Bible, and they say, "Hey, man, a lot of crap's about to jump off. Y'all want to scoot out of here?" I paraphrase from the Hebrew.
Right.
And the crowd gathers outside. They say, "Hey, who are those two guys in there? We'll throw them out that we may know them." Just like an Oz. And Lot says, "No, gentlemen, here, take my two virgin daughters. You can gang rape them." That's what the hero says.
So Lot
gang
was like
my daughters.
The Ariel Castro, basically.
Sort of. Ooh. Not as charismatic, I would say.
No.
Give me a story on that guy from yesterday.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then the angels come out and blind the crowd with some Hogwarts stuff, and they escape, and the city's destroyed, and the moral of the story is that Elton John and Anderson Cooper are very bad men.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
So,
thank you, Father.
It's about being unkind to strangers, and that's why God destroyed the city.
Can you take antibiotics for Gomorrah?
Yes, you can do that. Okay. Some calamine lotion if you're Gomorrah as well.
Did Jesus ever speak about turtle sex? Because we got a little bit sidetracked yesterday, John Fugel, saying there's some video. It's up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Of turtles, you know. Doing it, yeah. And, the male turtle, very vocal. The female turtle, literally, Chris and I detected an eye roll.
Yes. She just lays there, and she rolls her eyes. Are you done yet?
Yeah.
How long does it go on for?
Quite a while.
2 minutes? 3 minutes, maybe?
Right, well, yeah.
How much friction can a turtle create, exactly?
Well... You have to ask Elaine Chao. But, I don't know what I meant by that.
It's like throwing a hot dog down a hallway, maybe?
Right.
I don't know.
Broomstick
in a garbage can?
Sure. What?
What?
Oh. Like a golf pencil
Jim's
down
the only
a mine
not
shaft.
In the penalty box already.
Like a golf pencil down a mine shaft.
Oh, my. Well, I'm just playing your game, right?
Yeah, you are.
People saying can play any game. All right. So that has led, and this I know for sure is wrong.
So you've been with Dr. Mom.
I know Jesus never condemned turtle sex. That's what I know.
Well, I don't know about this, though. This is a turtle having sex with a croc.
Shoe, not a crocodile.
Because that would be short and sweet. But no, this is and this is cuter. It's a baby
squeaky
turtle. Right. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah.
Here it goes.
Oh, that was didn't take long, did it?
No.
All right.
He's done already?
Okay. He's done already. Okay. Oh, yeah. There you go. All right. Good. Okay. All right. Good. Good. There you go. So is that up on our Facebook page?
It will be in a second.
That is totes.
Oh, that's great. That's quality right there.
Yeah, that's totes adorbs. I think a turtle having sex with any sort of footwear, I'm just going to say,
well,
wrong.
Here's the turtle having sex that we played from yesterday.
Oh, okay.
That's what Mitch
McConnell
said.
Wait a second, is that a turtle or is that Paris Hilton? What is
that? No.
Because I saw that tape, it sounds exactly like
really?
It.
Really?
It's Elaine Chao.
Stop it.
What?
I already did the Elaine Chao joke.
Well.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's funny because Elaine Chao was married to Mitch McConnell, who resembles a turtle.
Yes.
And that's why, for those of you that don't know what that joke is.
And then we had someone post a comment on that Facebook post.
Turtle fun facts, yes.
Yes, Catherine March wrote, when I worked at the zoo in Seattle, we had Aldabra tortoises. Yes, they're giant tortoises.
Ooh.
That did this on a much larger scale. And we got some complaints from parents. A male broke his leg, and since during these moments was the only time he got some elevation, sex turned out to be a hazardous sport for this little fella. So Scooter cruised around on three legs and a modified skateboard until he healed. They call them Scooter.
That is precious.
They call them
it's
Scooter.
A lovely story.
Yeah. Scooter.
But yes, turtles get elevation during sex.
Well, isn't that awesome? Okay.
Nothing but net. I'm learning all the stuff I wish I didn't know.
Right. Okay. This is just, you know what? I blame Anthony Weiner, John Fugel. This is.
Yeah. Let's get started. Let's get started on Anthony Weiner, please.
Let's get it started in here. Let's get. It is just.
You don't even know how awful it is to be in New York right now, kid.
Oh, I'm sure.
God.
It's all we get. It's all. And Christine Quinn, who just every TV appearance, she's just, you know, competing with Anthony Weiner as if he was still in the race. I mean, this is just like it's like watching, you know, it's like watching the guys from Chicago tour. You know, it's like, oh. Oh, please, the corpse is rotting. Stop, stop. It's like watching Rod Stewart have a new album. No, no, you died years ago. Stop.
No. If you leave me now. Oh, no, no.
It's turning into a zombie campaign. But I understand, man. He has to stay in the race. He has to stay in the race so he can lose the primary gracefully. And so it'll be
over.
Maybe
they could do a remake of Please Don't Go and change it just to Please Go. Please. Please.
Yeah. Anthony Weiner, will you please go now?
What's that?
Anthony Weiner, will you please go now?
Yes.
You know, it's just sad. It's like watching your pets die. And he's still doing it. He's still in the race. And, you know, what's interesting is how mean the media's gotten towards his wife. I mean, this woman's done everything that women are told culturally they're supposed to do. She stayed loyal to her husband. She stayed with him through better or for worse. She forgave someone. Everything religion and society says a good woman does, and she's being punished by the media for not abandoning the father of her children.
Right. I mean, and you have how old is your ginormous baby now?
Oh, God. He's 16 months in human years.
Right. Okay.
He's massive.
But, you know, I was reading, a friend of hers said that to People magazine, that, you know, they did obviously talk about breaking up, and when it came time to taking her son and going, she couldn't do it. And, you know, you're right. What human being can't understand that?
She said last week at the AP building, she said, I'm staying for my child, for myself, and for my family. So it's like, you know, get off her case. Make fun of Anthony Weiner. God, as a comedian, I don't ever want him to go away.
I know. Exactly.
I mean, and, poor Sidney Leathers. Oh, boy.
Oh,
it's
Sidney Leathers.
That's just crazy. We were trying to book her on Viewpoint. I was writing her all week. And,
right.
Oh, she has the same manager as Tan Mom. And it's like, wow.
Oh,
some
really?
Girls just can't stop getting exploited.
Is that's true? Oh, God.
Can't stop getting exploited.
And meanwhile, Weiner just made it worse yesterday. He maintained the mystery of his Carlos Danger persona, saying the alias was a joke between him and one person. He would not comment on it further. So you're like, oh, no. Oh, God. What does that mean? I suppose one person means one of his sexting partners, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of them, one of the multitude.
He also remained composed while acknowledging the possibility of more women coming out with similar private information.
Boy.
He said, I can't say things in my past will not come up again in a very poor choice of words.
Can Anthony Weiner send a penis picture to, like, the crumbling public school system so the media will pay attention to that?
Hey!
Anthony Weiner should send penis pictures to Haiti, like, everywhere in the world that we need the media to pay attention to.
He said, if people want to continue to look at my background and make fun of things in my personal life, they are welcome to. Well, thank you, and we will.
Okay, sure.
Thanks.
But if you're tweeting to people, that's not really personal anymore.
No.
So you've made it quite public.
Right. It's not a private part anymore. It's a public part.
Well, there are direct messages you can send.
Ah, okay.
Right. Congress.
I still don't think you should have a reasonable expectation of privacy with those, though.
No, you shouldn't. But again, I'll say it again. Guys, any woman you've only met on the internet who wants to see a picture of your penis probably already has her own penis.
Hey! Did you see Representative Peter King got into the, jumped into the fray? He said, Wiener is psychologically unfit.
Says King Peter.
Yes.
Right.
To be mayor of New York. When asked about
King's
comments.
The guy who defends IRA terrorism.
Right. When asked about King's comments, Wiener said, Congressman King never wanted me to become mayor. I'm not looking for Peter King's vote. In fact, I'd be a little ashamed if I had it. Oh, that's what would be shameful.
Sure.
You wouldn't
be proud to have a Republican cross the aisle and vote for you?
No, then he would be ashamed. Now that's icky.
You know whose endorsement he did get, though?
Who?
The rent is too damn high guy.
That's right. Jimmy Williams, that's all I care about.
Yes,
too damn high.
Bless
you. You notice that no Democratic congressmen are running to Anthony Weiner's aid, right? I mean, that's the conspicuous thing here. And again, I do wonder why they're all condemning Anthony Weiner. No one wants to condemn Filner of San Diego yet on the national level, because what Filner did, I would argue, was much worse and much creepier than what Anthony Weiner did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a record of this Roger Sterling madman behavior. And yet, I don't hear Pelosi or anyone calling for him to resign.
But you have to give his lawyer credit, right? That it's San Diego's fault because they didn't give him sexual harassment training.
Now, as it turns out,
Filner was the one that canceled the sexual harassment.
He's
like, I got this. I'm a grown man. Like, I don't know how to behave.
NASA can't measure the size of this guy's scrotum to actually say that. To actually say the city never gave a 70-year-old man a lecture on how not to sexually harass people,
right.
So now we're going to make the city pay for our legal fees.
Right, exactly.
Cut this guy loose, Democratic Party.
Spectacular. All
Filner,
right.
Even the name's gross.
Yeah. Oh.
I just met her.
Yeah. Waka waka.
Wow. Facial lick. Okay, 18 minutes after the hour, we continue. Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got a number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
What you gonna do with all that junk? All that junk inside your trunk?
I'ma get you drunk. Get you love drunk off my hump. My hump, my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump. My lovely little lump.
Check it out.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ira Gershwin is rolling in his grave.
Is this for turtle humps? Is this wine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Turtle humps.
Oh, okay. All right.
You can actually hear rock dying if you listen closely.
23 minutes after the hour. Fridays with John Fugel saying that sultry voice you hear from the New York Bureau. 1-800-STEP-12. John, it's for you.
Huh?
Jenny in Georgia, you're on with John.
Hi.
Hello.
First of all, I want to thank you and your crack team of newsmakers, news reporters, to enlighten us on this situation of inappropriate sexual behavior and the difference. And so it's caused me to want to enter a 2-week intensive program on that subject so that I will better understand the difference between.
Are we speaking about turtle sex or
behavior?
Or Bob Filner?
No, I'm worried about the turtle having asthma, but that's just another subject.
Right.
But I'm going to call this, seminar 50 Shades of Fugle Thing, and I know that the government of San Diego will pay for a suite at a posh hotel with a spa, and,
all right.
I'm going to hang up now and start packing for it. So, John, call me and we'll make the arrangements. Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. It's been fun participating in this conversation.
I don't know what
that
was about.
What the hell was that?
I don't know.
That was awesome. I want to point out Panther Gal, Mama for Obama 1, writes that Debbie Wasserman Schultz has called for Mayor Filner to resign.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. All right, then. All right. That was a 16
shades.
Wow,
so I don't understand what that was. I don't understand what that conversation was about.
I think she was trying to pick you up in a very
clumsy way.
I think she wrote a little comedy skit for you, John.
You don't need to be clever with me, really. I have a Y chromosome. It's not necessary. It's pretty much just show up, and we're there.
That's how you have to get a man naked. Just ask.
Maybe show a little ankle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, boy. All right. Oh, by the way, yes, keep your organ out for
okay.
the ecclesiastical move, please.
Yeah, it's always out.
Well, yeah, here we go, John.
Release the Kraken.
We have another one. Virginia Republican Lieutenant Governor nominee E.W. Jackson. This guy.
Oh, this guy. Oh.
Yeah, said Democratic Party is anti-God and Christians should leave it.
And you can't spell E.W. without E.W.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you, John. Thank you. Thank you for that. He said, I believe the Democrat...
Party. Oh, it hurts so much
Ow.
When they make that little inside joke, Ow. Doesn't it, Democrats?
Yes.
Does that hurt you, Democrats, when they make their little snide Democrat Party joke? Ooh, it's so biting.
There's no safe word. I believe the Democrat Party has become an anti-God party. I think it's an anti-life party. I think it's an anti-family party. And these are all things I think Christians hold to very dearly.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of Democrats have families.
What?
A lot of Democrats go to church, too.
What?
You
got
to imagine this. No. You got to imagine the stuff this guy's into. You got
to
imagine
I don't want
stuff on his hard drive.
The mind reels.
This guy's amazing. If this guy gets elected, first off, I'm half Virginian. It's really bad that the state that gave us our first African-American governor could actually put a lunatic like this into the lieutenant governor's office. I mean, their governor race is so uninspiring and awful, but this guy is just like Bozo on a pogo stick crazy, and he will be a gift to comedians. So, Virginia, keep this in mind. If you make this guy your lieutenant governor, we comics are going to flog the GOP with him for many years, and he'll be a symbol around the world.
Awesome.
Did you say pogo on a bozo stick?
What did you say?
We have seen the anime and he are us.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
Bozo on a pogo stick. Crazy. I like it. they keep reaching new levels of crazy, so we keep needing to coin new phrases.
Pogo is a Walt Kelly cartoon from the
early
60s.
Right. Speaking of which, John, you brought it up. Wow, how about that Ariel Castro? Wow.
Oh, I did a whole commentary on slut shaming in last night's F-bomb because he actually, in between apologizing for kidnapping these women and keeping them as sex slaves and then saying it was consensual and feeling sorry for himself, he actually slut shamed them.
Yeah,
he couldn't believe it.
He should apologize to Fidel for sullying his name.
Wow. Yeah, that was something, right? The sex at a certain point became consensual.
Became consensual. Oh, you mean after the rape?
As it is when you're chained to someone's ceiling. Yeah.
And I really don't need to hear about how much he loved his daughter and how much his daughter, quote, loved him. Because that was
he's
a product
just a regular,
of rape.
Yeah, regular family guy.
Yeah. You know, I promised myself last year I would never make another prison rape joke, and I got to say, that guy really tested my limits yesterday. When he was saying how they all had multiple sexual partners before him, and that's why it's not that bad what he did.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's the greatest case of slut-shaming since Limbaugh and Sandra Fluck. It really is.
Yeah.
They kind of had it coming, you know?
Yeah. Here he is yesterday. Oh, he's sick.
Yes. I'm
just sick.
Yeah, the microphones in the courtroom were bad yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
I know. And I was actually grateful for that. I was like, you know what? I really don't want to. Do I have to listen to this?
Yeah.
Somewhere in this country, some lady you used to work with, everyone out there, is now writing him a love letter. Believe me.
Oh, God.
Someone's begun her first love letter at Ariel Castro.
You know it's true, and that's sad.
Yeah, I know. Here he is about his daughter.
Every time I came home, I would be so glad of the situation. It's crazy as it may sound. And my daughter, she just made every day for me after she was born.
Oh, he's completely sane. Yeah, completely.
Yeah, wow. I mean, that was scary to watch, wasn't it, John? That's a complete sociopath. I mean, you're like, wow, he still doesn't get it. He has no idea what
he did wrong.
Yeah, no idea at all. And it, as terrifying as it is, don't forget, this is really still a story of hope because there's so many parents out there who are praying their children are alive somewhere. And these girls are still going to have a chance to have a life. This guy's going to meet with justice. And let's just hope that more people that are held captive around the country get free.
Yeah, and how about Michelle Knight? We'll play some of that audio.
Beautiful.
We'll talk about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's cool. It's like we got our own monster.
Stephanie Miller.
It's not a monster. Let's jam in the basement until the circus comes to town.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Happiness. All 3 hours Monday.
Kathleen Madigan.
Yay!
Yay!
She's she's a rare little comedy treat. She's hardly ever home from the road.
She's a delight.
She's a delight. As is John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau Fridays with Fugelsang.
Good morning.
Hello. Hosting the Viewpoint show on the current television network.
Yes, until Thursday night.
Next Thursday night. This coming Thursday night, next Thursday night.
Right.
August 15th, the last day for our show and for John's.
Yep.
But we're going elsewhere. The radio show continues, and we will let you know where our new TV home is. John, that beautiful face will be somewhere. Come on.
Yes, I'll be a few places.
All right. Which again, we can't tell you now. We'd have to kill you.
Some of them involve me wearing a leather mask, so you wouldn't know it's me anyway.
Right.
But I did it for the money. That's all.
So you're moving with Brian Wilson from San Francisco down here when he joins the Dodgers. You see. No?
Yeah.
Nobody remembers that?
No.
Brian Wilson was the pitcher for the San Francisco Giants who had the machine, which was the man who dressed in rubber that lived in his house.
All right, Dennis Miller.
What?
All right, Dennis Miller. Thanks for that obscure reference, Chachi.
Sienna, it's not obscure. You're just not sports fans.
Sienna in New York, our favorite crayon color. You're on with John. Go ahead.
Well, guess what? I'm actually in Santa Fe right now, but I wanted to talk to, bistatal.
Right.
I gotta cover all my tints and bases. So,
you're geographically fluid. I understand.
I am. Mm-hmm. Especially when I melt.
Okay.
So, John.
Yes.
My question is, hi, John, how are you today?
Hi, good morning.
My question, how's New York, by the way? I haven't been there in 3 weeks. Is it better? Has it cooled
down?
How's
New York? I recommend it.
Has it cooled down?
Sienna, this is not a ham radio. Okay, go ahead. What is your...
my question is about Wiener. And this week, everyone's been, talking about the sex thing in Wiener. What about Christine Quinn? Has anyone talked about how wretched she is and how many people don't want her, regardless of if she had sex?
Nice to be specific. Specifically, what do you mean?
I don't like Quinn. First of all, there's a couple of things politically that I don't like that she's done via Bloomberg and shutting down St. Vincent's Hospital and doing.
No, that's my neighborhood. I don't like that either.
All right. So I just was wondering, because everyone's so happy to talk about the sexploitations of the Wiener Man, and forgetting about the real politics involved here, which is, if we get stuck with Quinn, it'll be not so good. But that's just me. I just wanted to hear your opinion.
Well, there's also, de Blasio. I mean, there's some good progressives in the race, too, here in New York City. And I'm amazed that, Carlos Danger can go and vote to authorize the Iraq War, but people are upset over his sexting habits. I mean, Anthony Weiner's, I think his congressional record should be a lot more a matter of discussion than his private life. The fact that this guy is, really, we had Dean Obadala and I were on the other night talking about his long history of anti-Palestinian comments and how he tried to block the Palestinian delegation from even coming to New York City. So, Anthony Weiner's done a lot of good things. I love the way he fought for single-payer health care during the health care debate. Turns out he was only doing it to get Nancy Pelosi to give him a good speaking slot at the convention.
Yeah.
But, this is a guy who supported the Iraq War, and I think that's a lot more relevant to the voters of New York than what he does in his private time.
Like Martha Quinn? She's a great VJ, and she's cute.
Oh,
I like
for
her, too.
Sakes. That's a different
Quinn.
That's a different Quinn.
The thing is, New Yorkers will they'll forgive a sinner. They won't forgive a serial BS artist, and that's the problem New Yorkers have with them.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Because Elliot's getting elected, man.
Speaking of serial BS artists, for some reason I was thinking, John, yesterday watching the Ariel Castro thing, I don't remember... somebody getting to talk that much. Didn't you just want him to shut up? I just was really? After all the victims have been through, you got to hear this garbage?
It was awful. It was so self-indulgent. It was like a Chris Christie convention speech.
Exactly.
I mean, and again, he's a sociopath because it was just he kept finding a way to make himself the victim.
Yeah.
And, talking about his love of Jesus. I mean, I don't even know what kind of leniency he was hoping for other than just have the public be sympathetic to him.
That's the other question I would have for attorneys listening. Is that a good idea to have him... say all this stuff?
He's already been convicted.
Well, I know, but it's just, what was the point of all that? It was vomitous.
Always allowed to do it. At sentencing, they give the guilty party a chance to speak and apologize to the family.
Yeah.
Right, but that's what I mean. If you're going to do this,
I'm sorry if people were offended.
I know, Jim and I were saying that, and that's pretty astounding. He pled guilty to 937 counts against him, which, by the way, John, was why I was saying I'm glad they didn't go to trial, because they would have had to try each of those counts and put those women through
and it would have been on TV forever.
Right.
Yeah.
And I actually think it's more apropos that he gets what he was trying to give them, life imprisonment,
He's going to learn the meaning of consensual.
See, there you go.
I'm trying not to do it. Sorry, that's right. I didn't even mean it, but here you go. I can't stop.
I mean, you know how they treat guys like this inside.
I mean, like this guy.
It's hardly the rape of angels.
You know what? The nicest thing I can say about this guy is I don't think he should be thrown in Gen Pop. That's the nicest thing I can say.
Daily Beast writing, he made a statement both denying and justifying his crimes in a shocking declaration. He played victim, denying he preyed on and tortured his victims and blaming his actions on an addiction and at times even the women that he kept. Yeah, that stuff.
Yeah, I didn't do it, but if I did.
Oof. Oh, God. Well, first of all, he said, the Daily Beast giving us seven crazy things. He said, that's picking and choosing only seven, but he's, he said, they're trying to say I'm a violent person. I'm not a violent person. Did you listen to the prosecutor about how he routinely punched them, slapped them, kicked pregnant one in the stomach?
To give them abortions, yeah.
Anyway, I drove a school bus. Oy. That sends a chill up your spine if you're a parent. Yeah, so did I. Think about that. I drove a school bus. I was a musician. I have a family.
In that case, you're free to go. What?
Yeah, he said, I'm not a monster.
He has a daughter in prison who won't talk to him.
I'm not a monster. I'm a normal person. I'm sick. I have an addiction just like an alcoholic has an addiction.
He's going to get sued by Godzilla for defamation.
Yes.
Yeah. I did not prey on those women. I just acted on my sexual instincts.
In
the context like a turtle. Of preying on those women.
Yeah. Yeah, like a turtle having sex with a croc.
I said, as I stated before, I was the victim of sex acts as a child. This led me into viewing pornography for my whole life. I mean, the other thing is, he also said, it was something she said to him at the convenience store that it's her fault.
But the sad thing is that often victims of sexual abuse become perpetrators.
Chris Hayes made that point last night.
Ted Bundy blamed it all on porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there really need to be some intervention of abused kids to keep them from becoming abusers when they get older.
Yeah.
Heavy counseling.
He targeted his second victim, Amanda Berry, by offering to give her a ride home from her job at Burger King. Castro allegedly invited Berry to come into his home to see his daughter, who Berry knew, but instead Berry was immediately chained to a pole in the basement. However, Castro seemed to blame Berry for her own kidnapping. Amanda, she got in my vehicle without knowing who it was. I'm not trying to put the fault on her, but I'm just trying to make a point that I'm not a violent predator.
Oh, wow.
I'm sure she asked to be chained to the pole in your basement.
Yeah.
He said his home was not a house of horrors and denied raping the women. There was a lot of harmony in that home, he said multiple times yesterday. Most of the sex that went on in the house and probably all of it was consensual.
Probably.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I seriously thought I was going to vomit yesterday.
I couldn't believe he said it.
These allegations about being forceful upon them, that is totally wrong. There were times that they wouldn't even ask me for sex many times.
Right, sure.
And I learned that these girls were not virgins from their testimony to me. They had multiple partners before me, all three of them.
Sluts.
Shaming them.
Asking for it.
Wow. Incredible.
That's the mentality.
All the while they had the pictures of the shackles, you know, up on the screen.
Maybe
he should
take over for Limbaugh when his show goes under.
No.
Did you get that, Newsbuster?
Oh, dear, Jim. Okay. He provides his victims' happiness and freedom as evidence that they were not tortured in captivity. How about that one? Referring to a photo of Amanda Berry at a recent concert, he said that right there itself proves that girl did not go through no torture. If that was true, do you think she'd be out there partying already and having fun? I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
Referring to Gina De Jesus, he said she looks normal. She acts normal. A person who is tortured does not act normal. They might act withdrawn and everything. She's happy. The victims are happy.
And you know this how?
Isn't this extra torture letting this guy talk this long and these girls have to hear all this?
The judge did congratulate, what was her name? Michelle. Sitting there stoically,
Michelle Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He said, God is my witness. I never beat these women like they're trying to say that I did. Ugh. I never tortured them. He said he was a good father. His daughter, who he conceived with victim Amanda Berry through rape, would say, my dad is the best dad in the world.
Oh, God.
That's how I tried to raise her in those 6 years, so she wouldn't be traumatized or anything like that. Ugh. I tried to take her out into public to give her a normal life.
Wow.
Yeah, like any normal family. Where's your mom? Oh, chained to a pole in the basement. Why? He denied being violent, as I was saying before. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
He was trying to establish eye contact with Michelle Knight, and the deputy sort of blocked.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
That part, when he said, I do have value for human life, because every time I came home, I'd be so glad of the situation. Meaning that he has these women imprisoned along with his daughter.
My sister slaves.
Yeah, and then he actually did add, as crazy as it may sound, no, don't be so hard on yourself.
Computer says no.
He finally apologized, but he feels sorry for himself. He said, finally, I'd like to apologize to the victims, to Amanda Berry, Gina De Jesus, and Michelle Knight. I'm truly sorry for what happened. To this day, I'm trying to answer my own questions. I don't know why. A man that had everything going on for himself. I had a job, I had a home, I had vehicles, I had my musical talent, I had everything going on for me. Thank you, victims. Please find it in your heart to forgive me. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay, can he just be done talking now so we don't ever have to hear from this guy again? Yeah, and Michelle Knight, I mean, that was just heartbreaking. I mean, but yeah. the other two had people speak for them.
Right.
But, you know, the fact that she really, I mean, that really took bravery to go there and sit there and have to listen to him and then, to speak herself.
Yeah.
Michelle Knight.
Days never got shorter. Days turned into nights. Nights turned into days. Years turned into eternity. I knew nobody cared about me.
Oh.
He told me that my family didn't care.
Mm. Anyway, she talked about the years of her life.
You took 11 years of my life away, and I have got it back. I spent 11 years in hell. Now your hell is just beginning.
It's kind of hard to understand how long that 11 years must have felt. I mean, it's almost incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Isn't it, John, that she survived it?
These women are going to give so much hope to so many parents of missing children, and I just
hopefully
think
it's
that,
not misplaced hope.
It's just that's the only good I can see coming from this whole horrible story, and that they survived and made it. It's just awful.
And listen to this.
Michelle, this guy should have been caught so much sooner.
Michelle Knight, one more time.
I will not let you define me or affect who I am. I will live on. You will die a little every day.
Maybe this is preparation for us being ready when we're sent to the NSA prisons for thought crimes.
Jim. I really think that was a incorrect analogy, but okay. Thanks for your insensitivity. All right, 47 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays with Bugle Saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang. In the New York Bureau. Did you see Willie Nelson tweeted? I think it's just terrible and disgusting how everyone treated Lance Armstrong, especially after what he achieved, winning 7 Tour de France races while on drugs. When I was on drugs, I couldn't even find my bike.
Okay, that's funny. I didn't hear that.
We were saying that Ariel Castro apparently had to sign over the deed to his house, and he said it made him sad because of all the happy memories he had there.
No,
the
I bet, yeah.
With the gals. Yeah.
Now I really feel bad for the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's go to...
How is someone who's this self-pitying and this unaware not in the Vatican? I don't understand.
John Louise, people saying. Carolyn in Ohio, you're on with John. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm in Akron, which is south of Cleveland, and believe me, we were... everyone I know... was sick and tired of listening to that guy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We couldn't understand why they were giving him, you know, the pulpit. But
that's
there
what
was
I
a
said,
lawyer.
Carolyn. I don't remember, you know, somebody like that getting to talk that long in the past. I just was like, oh my God, really?
Usually it's just a
lawyer,
statement or two. It's not a 16-minute screed.
Yeah. A lawyer later on in one of the news programs said that part of it is due to the fact that they wanted to get everything out there so that 20 years from now, nobody can come back and say, oh, well, you know, they're just trying to dot and you know, cross their T's, right. dot their I's, because they want this guy out of here.
He didn't get the death penalty, but they gave him enough rope to hang himself.
Yeah,
right.
There you go.
Exactly. But, yeah, it was. I would have just rather had them let the family speak and then cut out everything that he said, because did you hear him even blame one of the detectives?
No. What did he say?
Yeah. He actually said to the effect that, if one of the detectives would have worked a little harder, I think it was for DeJesus, that he would have found her earlier.
Yeah.
And this
yeah.
detective was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
my God. Can you imagine them just, like, you know, keeping their hands at their sides? Like,
mm-hmm.
If I hadn't been such a great sociopath and monster.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
God. That took some self-restraint. Connie in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Connie.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Good.
This morning.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to iterate. I've been a victim of rape myself when I was 16 and still a virgin, and it was horrible. Right. And I'm 60 years old now, and those memories stay with you your entire life.
Yeah.
It made me afraid of men for a long time.
Yeah.
It's affected me more than I could ever say. And back in those days, you didn't get help for stuff. Your parents, everybody just tried to hide stuff.
I knew someone your age that had the same thing happen, and I swear to God, the way she would talk about it or cry about it, I remember the first time she told me, I thought it happened, you know, the week before or something. And,
right.
And I said, when? And she said, when I was, you know, your age, 16 or whatever. I mean, it's just, it's awful.
The damage it does to the mind is irreversible. I mean, you can get help and you can get counseling, but those little girls, for the rest of their lives, they'll have nightmares. They will wake up. They will be afraid. And they're brave little souls, because I know if that had been me, I would be a vegetable in a corner sitting there not being able to speak or probably iterate with life at all.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
you sound pretty strong to me.
You know, and I just pray for them, and that man is an absolute monster. And I think with men like this, they should castrate them and put them in prison for the rest of their life, because death is too good for them, because it's too fast. They should be put somewhere where they are in torture.
Well, that's not our system of justice, honey, but you know, it's like, I got to say, even her statement, she had showed a lot more strength than I would have. I mean,
yeah, I'm against the death penalty, but I do think science should find technology to make Ariel Castro have to live 1,000 years behind bars. That I would support.
Yeah. Karen in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I live in the neighborhood where Ariel Castro lives, and the slut-shaming of Michelle Knight began when she disappeared, and they told her mother, oh, yeah, well, she must have ran off. You know, she was promiscuous. She already had a kid and stuff, as if that matters.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Cleveland police don't seem to give a rat's ass most of the time down here. And today, the Cleveland police will find out what is going to happen to the police officers who fired 137 shots at a couple after a high-speed chase through 5 cities. I was raped as a teenager, and I was by a teacher. Slut-shaming, once again, worked to keep me quiet for years. But my father was a police officer, and after he passed away, they had a memorial golf tournament for him. The man who raped me was there.
Oh,
I got
my God.
I was confronted face-to-face in front of all of the police officers, the fire department, the FOP people, and confront him face-to-face and put the rape right back in his lap. That man ran across the room, down a flight of stairs, and went out the window of the men's room.
Was he a cop?
That felt, you know, maybe I didn't get to go have my day in court, but saying that to him and that opportunity, I believe, honestly, my father dropped it into my lap.
Yeah.
I felt so much better after
that. And that's why I'm glad Michelle Knight got that chance, John, to, you know, because she obviously wanted to. I mean, I think the other two I could certainly understand either way, not wanting to be there and not wanting to listen to him or see him.
She's
strong,
and every day for the rest of her life, she gets to know that she's a hero. She stayed alive, and her child gets to know that her mom survived hell because she wanted to get home to her.
Yeah exactly. John Fugel saying, the host of the Viewpoint television program on the current network, which is fabulous, and I would hurry and watch it all next week.
Yeah, we got Dick Cavett joining us on Monday.
Cool.
A fun last couple of weeks. Yeah, we have some really great guests coming up. And Joy Behar was with us for half of our show the other night.
Oh, awesome.
And Joy just went off the air last night. She had her last episode.
Aw. awesome. All right. Well, honey bun, thank you. It's always
guys, love you much.
Love
thank
you. See you back on the TV. 58 minutes after the hour. Tina Dupuy of Contributor.com coming up on the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Happy Friday, everybody. Let's do a quick one. Denise in Florida on the Ariel Castro thing yesterday. Hello, Denise.
Hi, Stephanie. I just want to say that I'm so angry that they let him sit there and abuse the show like that again. She was. I couldn't get over what it took for her to be there.
And yeah.
For him to sit there and lie about saying that she lied about how he abused her, about how
yeah, I thought I thought that too. Denise, I was saying to Chris, I mean, I thought there was some at least time limit or something. I just don't remember anything like that. Them letting a perpetrator talk for that long.
The dangerous part, and this is what pisses me off so badly. I'm sorry, I don't know if I should have said
okay.
that word.
That's all right. Well, it's too late now.
She, when narcissists never think they do anything wrong. And people are charmed by them. And there's going to be a certain percentage of people out there now that believe him. That will think that she made this up. And yeah. People who are abusing her.
Well, I don't know about that, Denise.
I know. They will. Because people who are abused by narcissists have to deal with that all the time. And I know that with this case and with this guy, it will be much less than normal.
Yeah.
But there will be, she's going to have to deal with that to some extent.
I know, honey. I appreciate that. I think that's it. Trust me, that was a reaction of every woman I know that watched that yesterday. All right. Speaking of women we love, here she is.
Speaking of funny and smart, I want to bring on Tina Dupuy. Tina Dupuy is brilliant. She's funny. She's a terrific writer.
Everything, and I just love her already.
Oh, dear. Good morning, Tina Dupuy.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller.
We have to take a second to talk about that, because that was really unbelievable, wasn't it? I mean, I think everyone was disgusted, but women I know in particular watching that Ariel Castro thing, just him go on and on and on, right?
No, I think it was good in the way that now we can compare other people who deny sexual abuse, who deny that, you know, who use this like ridiculous, I'm like an alcoholic, that like, I think that it's good to see someone, completely make things up. And so we can kind of have a comparison for the next time. Because this, you know, the last caller was absolutely right. This happens a lot where it's, in sexual assault cases, not so much in kidnapping, which there's a lot of clear evidence, but in a lot of sexual assault cases, it comes down to he said, she said. And of course, where women are so often trying to ruin a good man. And so now that we kind of have that out there, and we can see someone who's just a complete psychopath, and how those people speak and the excuses they use, I think it's frankly good for the next victim.
Yep.
I really do.
Yep. Well, I mean, an interesting your piece this week, because obviously a lot of people, you know, were saying that was slut shaming. I mean, he literally
yes,
was blaming
absolutely.
Them, and they had mm-hmm. partners before me, and
mm-hmm.
you know, they
yeah.
the sex was consensual at a certain point. I mean, it anyway. But you know, your piece, it's interesting. It's a really interesting take. You start by saying you've heard the term slut shaming. It's a tactic used by those fighting to repeal the 20th century. But
yeah.
you say what never gets called out, despite the exact same playbook, is poor shaming. And it's a really good point and way of putting it, that that's what the Republicans have been doing for a long time before the 47% comments, right?
That's right. I mean, it basically boils down to you're poor because you're not good.
Right.
And it becomes a morality issue that, you know, especially in this country where Christianity is is conflated with the prosperity gospel that, you know, God's riches are quite literally riches, and people who are poor, therefore, are not shined upon. And so if you are poor, it's because, you know, you're lazy, you're not doing something right. And the reality is we have 48 million people living in poverty in this country. Mm-hmm. There are only 34 million Canadians in this world. We have 48 million impoverished people in this country.
Well, and as you say,
20% of all children live in poverty.
Yeah, in America. I mean, it's you're right. You've got to take time to, like, let that sink in. You say our wealth inequality statistics are staggering. And people just hear that, but I think, you know, they don't really know what that means. But the word staggering, I think, is dead on, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's words of fifth worst in the industrialized nation. I mean, it's really, and it's gotten a lot worse. And what we used to pride ourselves on, what the American dream has always been, is upward mobility, that you can be born with nothing and then you can die a rich person. And the statistics, now are that, you know, this really doesn't happen anymore. I say in the piece that you get to be in the middle class the same way you get to be king by virtue of birth.
Yeah.
We just don't move anymore. We stay where we are born.
And what's sad is you say, how have we resolved these sobering numbers? By kicking the downtrodden. And I love you say, sure, we believe in upward mobility more than Europeans do. We also believe humans domesticated dinosaurs for transportation more than Europeans do.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make it true. Poor shaming is the notion that people are destitute because we haven't sufficiently stigmatized their misfortune enough. Leave it to Republicans to have the courage to kick Americans because they're down. And that's exactly what they just did again, right, on the farm bill, on food stamps?
Absolutely. Well, they tell poor people to get a job. And then they have a job, and they go, well, they have a job, and they say they can't feed their family and they can't pay their rent on that job. And then Republicans say, you should get a better job. And it's like, no. You are moving the goalposts. These people are doing the right thing. They're doing what they're told to do, which is working.
Yep.
They have a job, and they are still impoverished. They are still on food stamps. They still can't make ends meet. They are doing the right things. As we see these people in fast food forward and the strikes that have been happening around the country with fast food workers, the disdain that we hear for these people, that, you know, these are really teenagers and, like, they're losers and they need to get a better job and they're on the,
right.
And we don't want poverty to be comfortable. We don't want, entry level positions to be comfortable. And it's like, okay, these are the good guys out there. They're the ones who are showing up every day at a degrading job that doesn't pay them well, that there is really no future in, and they're going there despite the, like, demoralization of their job, and they're doing what everyone has always told them to, which is work for a living, and they're not getting the living part.
You know, look at it, even these new jobs numbers. We added 162,000 jobs in July. You know, the unemployment rate dipped from 7.6 to 7.4, the lowest point since December 2008. But to your point, Americans are also working fewer hours and their pay dipped. So, like you say, even though more people are working, they're working harder, you know, we still have this basic inequality.
Right. And it's not that, like, corporations are struggling, right? It's not like McDonald's can't afford to actually pay their workers decently. It's not like the Walmart heirs are trying to live on a budget. You know, the fact of the matter is that there are people making a lot of money, and the 1% as they're called, but it's actually even a smaller fraction of that, are doing very, very well. And the recession has been over for them for several years. But it's the poor people, middle class, the rest of us that are struggling, trying to just, you know, have the basics, like food, health care. You know, that was the thing with McDonald's giving out this budget. It's like, okay, well, if you work at McDonald's and also have a second job, then you and pay $20 for health insurance. I don't know about you, Stephanie, but I have to pay $30 just to see a doctor, and I have health insurance.
Right.
You know, then. And the problem is not that you make $7.25 an hour. The problem is that you don't budget right, and that's why you don't have it.
Yeah. Well,
it all comes down to shaming the poor. If we can degrade these people and we can say that there is something defective about them, then, you know, maybe we can, like, if we can marginalize these people,
right,
then maybe they won't ask their country for something
more. Right. That's what you say. The aim of poor shaming is to get the marginalized to fight over scraps instead of demanding more from their country. Tax cuts are government handouts to the wealthy. For some reason, that's an entitlement Republicans are okay with. Poor people are greedy when they want a living wage. So, I mean, that, and you recap. So let's recap. Poor shamers are anti-union, anti-living wage, anti-social safety net, and that's just anti-American. As you say, I mean, that's the point I think we need to drive home more, that the tax cuts are government handouts. It is this, you know, and that's exactly what creates this inequality, right?
Right. And if you're against food stamps on principle, if you don't like food stamps, you think food stamps should go away, that we should cut the nutritional substance or the nutritional program known as SNAP, then a living wage is the solution. But being anti-living wage and also anti-food stamps is just cruel.
Yep, absolutely. How is living in New York, how is your wiener fatigue before you go?
Oh, my God. I made a goal, Stephanie,
yes,
to not tweet about him,
yeah,
and I've gone like 5 days, and I'm feeling good.
Good.
You are plucky.
Feeling good.
Plucky. Good for you. Good for you. You are a non-slut bag, obviously. And,
That is the first time anyone's ever said that.
Hey.
I really hope it's not the last.
Jim wants to hear more. All right. From thecontributor.com, our very good friend, Tina Dupuy. Thanks, honey. See you next time.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right. There she goes.
Yay.
Hooray. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yep.
Yep.
Check. I'm not sure about that.
Check.
You have a record, so I guess you are a criminal.
I am a woman with a record. Right. Yes, I am. I was a 19-year-old in possession of a six-pack of light beer. Yep.
And you discovered that orange is the new black.
Yes. Oh, heavens. If we can't laugh about our college arrests,
tell me about it.
I don't remember seeing that on your application.
I was arrested for minor possession of alcohol about 3 months before my 21st birthday. And it was old-style beer.
Us drunk have to stick together.
Yes,
of course
the
old
cop
style
made fun of me for
old
drinking old-style beer.
You're going to drink old-style as your first drink? Oh, my God.
It wasn't my first drink by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm still going to arrest you, you see.
I had cuffs on me. I was in the back of a
wow
cop car.
Make you hot? Bet it did.
It did not.
Okay. Wow.
I had my first drink at 18, but I was in Europe at the time.
Oh, so, well, aren't we?
I was
aren't
earlier
we
than that.
Aren't we fancy?
Actually, no, I did get some beer when I was 10 in Bamberg, Germany.
All right. You know what goes really well with alcohol? Guns.
Yeah, right.
This didn't even involve alcohol. This is our latest I just shot myself guy. Police say a Concord, New Hampshire man may have been asleep when he accidentally shot himself.
Oh, no.
So that, you gotta give it up for that.
I just shot myself.
Yes, the woman said her husband appeared to be sleepwalking when he...
Oh, wow.
Oh, sleep shooting.
Oh, son of a bitch! I just shot myself! I just shot myself! Shot myself! Shot myself! I just shot myself! I just shot myself! I just shot myself! I just shot myself!
I'm sure that's what Jacques Offenbach intended when he wrote.
Yes, that's exactly what.
Roman in Chicago. Hello, Roman.
Hello. Hi. I've spent some time in India, and I got to say that one thing I took away from there was this idea that you're talking about with shaming the poor. The poor shame themselves as well, and in America we're equally deluded that we're going to, if we just work hard enough, at least some of us are, that we're going to be, super rich and powerful and we'll be successful.
Right. That's the whole voting against your self-interest. I mean, who did that? Alexandria Pelosi did that documentary where she went to some of the red states.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, but you're not rich. And he's like, well, I could be. You know,
it's aspirational.
Go, oh, boy. Yeah.
And that's that paradigm that's so easy for Republicans to use any cent spending for social programs to say it's, you know, because of our laziness that we're poor, but they can enrich their friends through war profiteering and other things, and nobody complains about it, right?
Yeah.
Obamacare should be a no-brainer. It's way cheaper than both the wars, but yet we're still debating it.
Yep.
It's like
yep.
when they point to poor people who are obese and say, well, they can't be starving. Look how fat they are.
Yeah.
Well, they're starving because they're not getting any nutrition, just empty calories.
Yep. Marie in Texas. Hello, Marie. Welcome.
Hello. Hi, good morning.
Hi.
How are you, ma'am?
Good. Good. Go ahead.
I'm from Texas, but don't hold it against me.
No, okay. I will
well,
not.
So is Molly Ivins. So.
Yeah. Listen, what I'm calling about, hon, is I'm a 58-year-old truck broker that's been an independent contractor working out of my home for years. I find trucks for loads and loads for trucks all over the country.
Oh,
and
cool.
my business depends on people spending money. And there's very little of that being done. And so I got the download from my boss last night. My last paycheck will be Monday.
Oh,
my
no.
husband just had open.
Wow.
My husband just had an artificial valve replacement.
Oh, God.
He had to go back to work a month early. He came home yesterday half dead. And I don't think he's going to make it through the holidays unless I figure out something.
Wow.
You know, I went from having we had a little piece of the American dream, and then George Bush came in, and it exploded. And we are now approaching 60 with no savings, nothing to fall back on, no family. And I'm down here in the middle of these instant millionaires making fracking money that would rather buy Uzis and another damn fishing boat than give to the food bank.
Yeah.
And when I was making good money, now I've got to go to the food bank. I've got to go stand in line with food stamp application this afternoon. And I've never had to ask for government help in my life. And when I was making good money, I gave to the food bank. I gave to Wildlife Rescue. I gave to the homeless shelter. But the inhumanity to man now that I see in this country makes me so sad. And I'm just at the end of my rope, and no one understands our misery.
Yeah.
They just don't. And sequester people that just blew that off as if that was no going to be no big deal.
Right.
I had four loads of chocolate picking up in Chicago every week to come to San Antonio for a customer who does business with the military and makes cookies for the soldiers. Well, now, guess what? That I might have another load in 2 weeks. You know, that took money directly out of my pocket.
Yeah.
I work on commission. I'm just at the end of my rope and don't know what to do, and I just don't feel like anybody listens anymore.
Yeah. A lot of people are listening right now, Marie, and your story breaks my heart, and it's unfortunately all too common. I mean, that's exactly the point of Tina's piece is that, you know, these are you are a hardworking person, and just that kind of, you know, shaming that comes on top of, you know, how hard you're already trying to make ends meet is just, you know, but hang in there, honey, and lots of thoughts and prayers. I can feel them with you right now, okay?
I do appreciate it, guys, and keep up the good fight because,
like I say,
we're stuck down here in Texas, and we have no representation, so I have to depend on people like Alan Grayson, Elizabeth Warren, people like that who will get out there and fight for us because
these
faux Democrats down
that's
here
what kills me.
Something to help us.
That's what kills me, Marie, about, you know, unfortunately people in red states that have, you know, for instance, governors or others that are working against Obamacare or not taking Medicaid stuff. They're hurting their own good-hearted people like that live in states like that. And that's the other thing about, it's like, it's just sort of like, what's the word, hypothetical to a lot of people? They don't even know what the word sequestration means. Yeah. That's what it means.
Yeah, but it's
that
it's,
call right there.
It's this neo-corporatism, you know, the Koch brothers and all those other jerks. And it's about millionaires becoming billionaires at the expense of everyone else.
Yep.
And that's all they care about.
Mason in Ohio on the very same subject. Hey, Mason, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, sunshine.
Good
morning. Kind of a rough morning so far.
Oof.
Yeah.
Please, between Ariel Castro and that, go ahead.
I know. You know, my heart breaks for her because I feel her pain. I am in a very similar situation. And it's rough when you contact your people that are supposed to be your leaders, that you represent you, and they won't even take your calls.
Oh.
They won't see you. And I can't get into an office of any of my elected officials here in the state of Ohio. And I want the people in Ohio to hear me and hear me clearly. We do not need to be a Republican state because they do not work for us.
Yep, yep. It's
exactly. Dump Kasich. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's cool. It's like we got our own monster.
Stephanie Miller.
It's not a monster. Let's jam in the basement until the circus comes to town.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. You already played that one. Someone's distracted.
Did I?
Mm-hmm. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to, look at this. It's a job dating game. Kathy in Houston just heard Marie's call, who is out of work. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Stephanie. My name's Kathy. You already said that. Anyway, my husband works for a company here in Houston. There's a suburb called Conroe, and the company is based there. I'd give you the name if you'll bleep it.
Okay, but then, well, you know what, Marie, if you're listening, call us and call back.
I'll just go ahead and tell you. It's Belo, and it's based in Conroe, and they haul all over the southeastern United States. So, and there is a good company, and the boss is really kind, and they hire independents. I do believe she said she's an independent.
That's right. What's the name of the company again?
Belo, B-E-L-O.
Okay.
In Conroe, Texas?
Right.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. Oliver, thank you, honey. We are helpers. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Hopefully Marie's listening.
I've been there, too.
Yeah, well,
I've been there, too.
Haven't we all? Yeah, all right, honey. Thank you. And I will likely be there again. History is any guide.
Oh, well, if you're there, then we're there, too.
Yes, you are. I'll
Good
drag
Lord.
You down with me.
Welcome Thanks. To the Danny Bonaduce Show.
Yes.
Dave in Chicago, you're on.
You're the rock instead of the life preserver that drags us down.
Better suck it up to Danny Bonaduce. Hello.
How long can you tread water?
Hello, Dave in Chicago.
Hey there. You guys have great listeners. I got to say that.
I know it.
So, hey, well, the reason why I'm calling is it's regarding the whole minimum wage conversation you guys were just having.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with my brother-in-law. He happens to be a police chief, and he's a self-described libertarian. Mm-hmm. His statement to me was that with regards to minimum wage, the reason why those people are on minimum wage is because of the choices that they make. I said, well, there's a lot of people on minimum wage that are working one, two jobs, doing whatever they can to make ends meet for their families. And even with that, they've got to be on food stamps. He said, well, food stamps basically is just a way to not teach people how to fish, that old axiom. And I got to a point where I just didn't know what to say to him anymore.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I was dumbfounded.
Yeah, you're like, are you missing your empathy gene by any chance? Okay. Oh, we were talking to Mason. I think we weren't done. Mason in Ohio. Go ahead, Mason.
Oh, you caught me swallowing my coffee. Sorry.
Sorry.
Happens to us, too.
Okay, well, the last few days, you know, Boehner had a nice little conversation along with several of his Republican buddies, and they're backing sequester now, and they're owning it, and they're saying it's not going anywhere. We're going to keep it in place. And
right.
When we're talking about equality, you know, that just feeds into equality. And the way sequester came about wasn't just it was Barack Obama's idea. It was a bipartisan, everybody threw ideas into the ring situation. Now we're in it, and everyone says it's bad. Everyone says it's going to kill jobs, and it feeds inequality. They're cutting SNAP programs, Head Start. There's job losses. And Boehner, from his own area at Wright Patt, they have lost tons of jobs, and they're going to lose even more jobs.
Yeah.
And what it does is it keeps the poor poorer, and it keeps the middle class stagnant. Doesn't let it go anywhere. And sequester is the wrong way to go. And what's really awful is on top of that, again, to be owning it, to be like, yep, it's right where it needs to be.
You know, and that's the thing is, you know, people say, oh, well, not to be partisan. Unfortunately, this is partisan, Mason. This is the very definition of partisanship when the president said, sequester this idea we all came up with because it was supposed to be so awful. But he's assuming another side that actually cares
about people,
right,
about actual real Americans. I mean, it's just they clearly don't. They agreed when they did it. Yes, this is so awful, and these cuts are so random that no real American, period, would want this to happen. Well, you know, once again, he underestimated Republicans, right?
Yeah, they absolutely did. And that's causing our government to spin their wheels, because now there's all these fires that have to be put out because we're addressing issues as we go along. It wastes time, it wastes money, and it draws focus from what we really need to be looking at, which is jobs and not putting Band-Aids on things as we go, but fixing it and moving forward.
Yep, absolutely. Sue in Rockville on the same subject. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning. There's a simple analogy that even your most right-wing callers and listeners should be able to understand. Billionaires like the Romneys, the Kochs, and all of those horrible people, they have a pie, and that pie was divided into 8 pieces, and they have consumed 7/8 of it. They have it, they want it. And the rest of us have 1 slice of pie, and they want us to fight over it and fight each other over it, and then they shame us and say, look at those people fighting over those crumbs.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what they're asking us, the rest of us, to 99% of us, to fight over 1 slice of pie, why they have the rest. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they don't get it, they don't understand, they don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
Your life, whether you live or die, whether your children have success, can eat, have an education, doesn't mean diddly. The Waltons are living in their underground city, ready for disaster. They don't care whether the environmental coasts sink or not. They simply don't give a damn because they've already got so much money to protect themselves. They took 7/8 of the pie already. And until people rise up, this is Sue's rant.
And, you know, and this sounds naive, Sue, but, you know, and most of us here, we're all, you know, relatively smart people. I mean, sometimes you look at, like, I look out here at the gym, I'm sure you do this, the real estate section, and you're like, what? How do people get this much money?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm relatively smart. How do, like, a house after house out here, Sue, is like, you know, $44 million, $22 million, $50 million. The average one in some areas, it's like $15 million,
yeah,
$10 million.
Bel Air.
I'm okay. I'm doing something wrong.
I live in the D.C. area, D.C. price houses never go down because there's always this tremendous influx of people from all over the world, not just the rich and all those damn lobbyists who spend all their time, you know, the revolving door of Congress.
Yep.
And what happens there? They all want their own, and they're not there for you. Our new congressman is busy voting, has become a dino in 6 bills. He went from being a progressive Democrat to being a dino. And every day I email his office or I call his office and I say, you may be a freshman congressman, but you keep this up and you will never make sophomore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep.
You know, and we have to hold them accountable.
Yep, absolutely. I just read the latest House Ellen DeGeneres bought. To coin Rick Overton's joke, I am telling the wrong kind of jokes. I don't know what I'm doing. What the hell?
You need to be calling God on the phone more often.
Roland, sexy liberal tour director Roland, has a big fancy new job at a hedge fund in New York.
He's whatever.
And he sends me all these articles about short sales, and I'm like, literally, you could be sending me Greek. I don't know what. How do these people make this much money, and what the hell are you talking about?
How does he go from comedy concert promoter to hedge fund manager?
He's brilliant.
He's
the head of the entertainment director at a giant hedge fund.
He's an evil genius.
Because he's handsome and romantic and the smartest man in the world.
And an evil genius.
Well, there could be that.
Welcome to my underground lair.
underground lair.
He lives in New York. I can't watch him all the time. I don't know what he's doing. Tom in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Tom.
Yes, good morning. And I really enjoy your show. But one thing that really, you know, talking about the job situation and why people can't get decent wages, one thing that really upsets me about unions, and I've been a union representative for locomotive engineers for 27 years.
Yeah.
And Democrats and now Republicans is the illegal immigration situation. There's a law of supply and demand, and as long as there are more people that want jobs than there are jobs available, it's very difficult to increase wages. And now, I mean, it seems that if there is a legal status, given to to people that are that were once illegal immigrants. The construction industry is done for American people. For American citizens.
How is that?
Because the law of supply and demand. If you give them a legal status,
what does that have to do with? Okay, if they're in those jobs now, obviously construction jobs, right? How is that going to destroy the construction industry?
Well, they're in the jobs now, but they will be even more involved because now these contractors can say, look, these people have legal status, okay? And that's the thing. I mean, because the Pew report from 6 years ago said that 24% of all the contractors the carpenters were illegal aliens. To me, I mean,
right.
All
right. I don't. That's making my brain hurt because
strengthening the unions so that they have more right.
Yes. Yeah.
Buying power and help build the economy.
They just did a comprehensive report on that. This will lower the deficit. Will add jobs. It will. Maybe I'm not even understanding his point. But okay. All right.
I think Mexicans was his point.
I think he was about to get the cantaloupe cabs in a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. 45 minutes after.
Watermelon thighs. No, wait.
I got the talking points wrong.
That's not what I meant. Prickly pear feet. No, wait a minute. That's not it.
Ow.
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour.
Prickly.
Right back on the...
Very prickly.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm not. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Rita in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I want to ask a question. When they sequester all this garbage, why is it the poor people who pay for it, but the Congress doesn't?
Because
they hold all the marbles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Good point. Nicely done. Let's go to why. Okay, carry the four. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Wait a minute. Wrong line. Here we go. I have no idea where I'm going
now. Oh, my God. What happened
there?
Is he
drinking Flirtinis already?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to Wendell. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Wendell. Oh, for God's sakes. He really is drunk. Ron in Dallas. Hello, Ron. What is happening out there? Ron in Dallas. Hello. Hello, Ron.
Hello.
Go
back to Kevin. Go back
really
to Kevin.
Drunk. Okay, Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, I was about to say, lovely Stephanie. You like psych?
Psych.
it's a pleasure to talk to you as always. You know,
yes.
Lovely raven hair cascading over that swan-like beautiful neck.
Thank you.
Okay, that's pouring on a little thick, Kevin.
Perfect.
Do you know who you're talking to? You talked to me years ago. I am that facetic. See, I'm using words like facetic.
Yes, you are.
All right, go ahead, Kevin.
But we have the power to change it. There's more of us than billionaires. And I'm not saying because if you're rich, you're bad, but it's ridiculous that the societal norm is that people who are working full time, paying their taxes, being law-abiding citizens, doing what they're supposed to do, and you still, if you're working full time, there's no way you should not be able to feed your family and do what you got to do. It's immoral that corporations and CEOs making record profits don't pay people living wage. When did that become okay?
Mm-hmm.
When did we fall into accepting that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Reverend Wallace always reminds us that a budget is a moral document.
That's right.
Wendell in New Hampshire won the mug, the Talking Liberally mug, for guessing how many bottles of wine Roland and Hot Bree and I drank on vacation. Hello, and the answer was 19, everybody, 19.
A day?
No, for the week.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Wendell.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm very happy to be on the air, and also I'm really sad because you're going off the air.
We're not going off the air.
Okay, the radio show is not going off the air. The current television is going to become Al Jazeera America August 20th, so everybody knows. August 15th is our last day. We will be seen somewhere else, and we will let you know as soon as we know for sure.
But you can still listen to the radio show on the TuneIn Radio app, on your local radio station, on the iHeartRadio app,
SiriusXM.
Right.
All right.
Well, I don't have a computer, so I'm computer illiterate, I guess. But what I want to
get an app or a smartphone or a satellite radio, something, sir, for God's sakes. Show a little commitment.
I have to get a smartphone, you know.
All right.
Oh, anyway, my whole thing is how close to communism is the Republican Party seriously at when they're trying to stop voting and, you know, and all that other crap they're putting out? It's pretty sad, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Immigration response is good. Jennifer in Fresno, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hello.
Hello.
I feel compelled to respond because I understand that everybody is, the immigrants, they're evil, they're taking over our jobs. If we would go after the companies and find them, similar to what we were doing with alcohol sales to minors, find the companies, and then guess what? They're going to have affordable jobs. And I have noticed that out here in Fresno, there is construction. In fact, on the street behind mine, all of a sudden they're building again. And I'm seeing a bunch of white guys building. So I don't see how this is going to be an industry that's taken over by illegals.
Yeah, I did. I honestly just missed his point. I missed his point entirely. Chuck in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Chuck.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I am just shocked that I was able to get through, but I'm very happy that I am.
Well,
love your show.
Thank you.
Anyway, I want to refute what the previous caller said about, if the immigration bill is signed, it's going to be the death of construction jobs as we know it in the United States. First of all, as you correctly pointed out, there are many illegal immigrants that are already doing construction jobs. And many of them, they are not.
But that's what I don't get about why legalizing them. Like, what is he? They're going to get the job again that they already have. I'm confused. What his point was?
Yeah, and it's actually going to increase the wages because many of them, a good percentage of them, are not paid very well. Some of them are not paid at all at times, and they don't have benefits, et cetera, and they can't go to the labor relations board. Many of them will not go to the authorities because, why? They're illegal. So once they get
Chuck, and they start paying taxes. Since when has that been a bad thing for Republicans? That's why, you know, it helps the deficit. It helps everything. Right.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. So it's actually going to increase the wages in the construction industry because they'll be able to go to the authorities when they are treated unfairly and et cetera, just like I can as a U.S. citizen. So it's I don't see where his logic is. There was a study done, and I don't know who exactly. I listened to it on NPR, independent study that showed that the only jobs that might be negatively impacted by the immigration bill, if it was signed, would be those jobs that are being filled by high school dropouts, and the impact was like 1%. Every other segment of the economy would actually benefit because these individuals would be working, they'd be making better wages, they'd be spending the money.
I've just found it always, you know, to be so counterintuitive, Chuck, that every time we have this debate, they scream about amnesty, and meanwhile, all of these same people have had amnesty for all the years that they haven't done anything, and I don't understand how the status quo is making it better somehow in their mind. All right, let's get back to man fight.
Okay.
Chris Christie has rejected Rand Paul's offer to grab a beer.
I would, too.
He seems like a nasty little piece of work.
Yeah.
And you'd have to look at that hair.
Very unpleasant. He'd make me wrinkle my nose all the time.
During his monthly Ask the Governor segment, he shrugged off Rand Paul's offer to de-escalate their week-long spat. He said, I'm running for re-election in New Jersey. I don't really have time for that at the moment. If I find myself down in Washington, I'll certainly look him up, but I don't suspect I'll be there anytime soon. I've got work to do here.
That's a big fat take a hike, so to speak.
Right, so to speak. He said, I don't know why Senator Paul is so out of whack on this. I never called him any names, yet he called me names. I didn't use any childish phrases like gimme, gimme, gimme. He did. I just have to assume from that he's trying to get some attention. That's fine. He's not the first politician to use me to get attention from the national media. I'm sure he won't be the last. Christine says that he never mentioned Paul in the original statement, saying he merely answered a question that invoked Paul. I was asked a question. I gave my opinion. Christie said it really had nothing to do with Senator Paul, but Senator Paul wanted to make this about Senator Paul.
Yeah, of course he did.
All right, and when we come back, we'll tell you whose side Newt is on, as if that matters to anybody, frankly.
Anyone cares.
Frankly.
Hey, right, you're the one who had your picture taken with him.
I do. I did get it in the Charlotte airport. And as I said, Callista was on the plane, and then she was not at baggage claim. Maybe he has divorced wife three on the way. Something happened. Well, maybe she had a cough.
In coach.
Dry cough. And he's like, oh.
Maybe it's because they flew coach.
Right.
Call on a drone strike, frankly.
All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. I know, right, Jim? Don't you hate it when you wake up in a bathtub full of ice and your kidney's gone? Horrible.
Wow.
We were just talking about, you know, how the sequestration, et cetera, is affecting everyone's lives.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is at least you didn't wake up to find doctors trying to remove your organs. Gawker brings us the story. St. Joseph's Hospital in Syracuse ruled a woman dead. And went to the mission of her family, prepared to remove her organs for donation. Then as she was on the operating table surrounded by doctors...
Woke up.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Alive!
Yeah, that's creepy, because the whole organ harvesting industry, just I don't think they're ready to wait for people to die anymore.
But we shouldn't put down the whole organ donation.
Right, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Can you imagine the doctor's there? She opened her eyes.
Ah! God, what are you doing?
Yes!
I still need that.
Zoinks.
It's still important to become an organ donor.
Right.
Please do.
Yes, please.
Especially if you live in Oregon.
She took a combination of drugs. They thought she slipped into a coma, a deep coma, which they mistook for her being brain dead. However, some warning signs that Burns was not actually dead.
A pulse. Did they take any vitals?
The day before the surgery was to take place, a nurse performed a reflex test on Burns' foot. Burns' toes curled downward.
Then she's alive.
Dead people don't curl their toes, said Dr. So that took a doctor.
Wow. You know, I've been to medical school, and I found that dead people don't curl their toes.
She also appeared to be breathing on her own without the help of a respirator.
Yeah.
And they don't fight against the respirator and want to breathe on their own. The nurse reportedly warned doctors, but she was ignored. Oh, hush now. Don't speak.
Again, who else is in the room who is pushing for this?
The state health department found several other oversights by the hospital staff.
Minor oversights.
Think.
Oh, you're still alive.
From the department of Jothink, including a lack of...
Thank you, Dr. Perry. Oops.
Including a lack of proper brain scans, a lack of drug tests, and, of course, the small issue of ignoring the nurse who said that Burns was not actually dead.
Wow.
Oh, dear. All right. So that happened. And we apparently all let it
happen. God.
Exactly.
I know what it is, but I'm still using it.
It's money.
All right. We were talking about the Chris Christie Rand Paul man fight. Boys, you're both pretty. You're both going to lose to Hillary Clinton.
But they're not both pretty. They really aren't.
Actually, my friend yesterday was saying Chris Christie is actually not a bad looking guy. He's several good looking guys, actually.
Well, when he was younger, he was a good looking guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something
okay.
happened.
Yeah.
And then boom.
Joan Walsh, our friend, writes in Salon, Ginger says he backs Rand Paul and Ted Cruz over Chris Christie for reasons that make no sense.
Yeah.
Except that it's another man fight, frankly. Paul and Cruz say...
Frankly.
Yeah, that's the other thing that'll shock you, Jimmy, actually said frankly.
Frankly.
In his first sentence, frankly.
Frankly. Frankly. Mm-hmm. Frankly. I said frankly too many times, frankly. So, frankly, I'm going to stop it, frankly.
Paul and Cruz say Congress should be prepared to shut down the government in order to win big cuts in spending, and particularly to defund Obamacare. And Gingrich praised their stance. As someone else that's been spectacularly successful at shutting down the government, here's my advice, frankly.
Frankly.
He said, I have consistently been on the side of having the courage that Rand Paul and Ted Cruz have, and I think it's sad to watch how the establishment grow hysterical, but frankly, they're hysterical because they have no answers.
Frankly.
Of course, Newt's consistently on the side of courage, Joan writes, but having the courage to do what exactly? He doesn't say.
No.
He even flirts with endorsing Paul's foreign policy skepticism, though Gingrich has always been a neocon hawk. Huh. It's almost like he has some sort of lack of principles of any kind.
Hmm.
He's supporting the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, oh, in 2012, remember he said Iran should expect to get hit.
Yeah.
If he was president.
Right.
His patron, you remember, Sheldon. Sheldon Adelson. He slavishly endorsed Netanyahu's most hawkish policies. All we know for sure, Joan writes, is that he hates Chris Christie, possibly because as a Mitt Romney surrogate, Chris attacked Gingrich as an embarrassment to the party. Perhaps because he is... an embarrassment to the party. Right.
There's that.
After he won the South Carolina primary, Chris Christie said on Meet the Press, I mean, he was run out of the speakership by his own party. He was fined $300,000 for ethics violations. This is a guy that's had a very difficult political career at times and has been an embarrassment to the party. Now that Christie has declared war on Paul, in particular attacking his stance on NSA surveillance, Gingrich is solidly on Team Paul.
Wow. for now.
Joan writes, all we know is that he's anxious to stay close to his party's far-right base and to stay in the headlines, so that makes him Team Paul Cruz. Interestingly, Gingrich's 2012 patron, the aforementioned Sheldon!
Sheldon! Stop with that hurting.
Is now checking out Team Christie. If Gingrich ever needs Adelson's money again, look for him to ditch Team Paul just like he ditched his first two wives to support his support for the individual mandate and his opposition to the Ryan budget. Because he... is a man that will not be weighed down by principles or convictions or
whatever
of any kind, except the ones that Sheldon has.
Yeah. Stop with the shelving and the flagging.
Sean and I did that entire story just for us to say, Sheldon, stop. Okay, Sean in Sacramento. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Stephanie. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just have a statement to say, and then I have a question for Chris,
right.
A real quick one at the end. The one thing with the conservatives, and you see this all across the board, is that if you guys listen to the conservative talk radio shows, they're basically putting a business model in all aspects of their life. You know, and they want that sort of plugged into everything, from the churches they go to the way that hospitals are run, the way that the government is run. And the unfortunate thing is that when, you know, we look at that, why people are being laid off, everything is always run for higher profits, more efficiency, mm-hmm. supposedly. But what happens, of course, in that realm, people get laid off. They're treated as, you know, equipment. Society isn't looked as there's not even a broad thing. I mean, we can look at things to know that every time someone gets cancer, the GDP goes up. You know, we have a sense that every opportunity of tragedy and chaos essentially is a way to make money.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And it's really sad that's the problem, is that we're literally, I think, you know, as a society, you know, we now have people running prison industries where,
yeah.
you know, the
well,
prison industries
the whole,
are lobbying
right.
for stiffer sentences so we
yeah.
keep our
right.
prisoners in prison longer.
Yeah, that's their for plan profit. Is to privatize everything.
Exactly, that's
yeah.
my whole point.
That's why the healthcare system being for profit is just a spectacular
uh-huh.
idea in every way.
Oh, I want to hear his question for me.
Steve, oh, sorry, who cares?
Oops.
Steve in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi,
I have a
Steve.
Question for Chris. Why does Stephanie keep shutting you off? When
I have a question for Chris. Why does Stephanie... Oh, sorry. Hi, Steve in Chicago.
Hi, Stephanie. Love you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, listen, I want to talk about that Paisano, Joey Bag of Donuts there. You know, that underworld torpedo. This Jersey City racketeer.
Chris Christie you're talking about.
Oh, yes.
Joey Bag
oh,
of Donuts.
Yeah, yeah, rackets boss. He's a Jersey City rackets boss. He's a... He wants to tell everybody what to do. He can clean up Newark, New Jersey. He can sweep his own backyard clean before he starts offering advice to anybody. That's my only point.
All right, thank you. All right. Boom.
Joey Bag of Donuts. Boom.
Boom. Bada-bing. Take that. Okay. As you know, NSA whistleblower, or as my friend calls him, Jackalope, Edward Snowden, left Moscow's International Airport for the first time
yep.
and thanked Russia for granting him...
Spasiba.
Temporary asylum. Oh, He said over the past 8 weeks, we've seen the Obama administration show no respect for international or domestic law. But in the end, the law is winning, said the lawbreaker. I thank the Russian Federation for giving me granting me asylum, blah, blah, blah. Jay Carney, disappointed.
Disappointed!
Yes, Jay Carney.
We are extremely disappointed that the Russian government would take this step despite our very clear and lawful requests in public and in private to have Mr. Snowden expelled to the United States to face the charges against
firing
him.
Firing squad.
No, they have already said he would not get the death penalty, he would not be tortured. He said Mr. Snowden is not a whistleblower. He's accused of leaking classified information, has been charged with 3 felony counts. He should be returned to the U.S. as soon as possible, where he will be accorded full process, due process,
sure,
and protection.
Just like Bradley Manning.
Okay.
Bradley Manning has been afforded due process.
Yes, as Hal Sparks said the other day, it would have been what Manning did is akin to if he had released the Pentagon Papers and then sent Geraldo to detail all our troop movements in Vietnam. It was
here
an unprecedented amount of material. Right. Why do you
look
keep
at all
going
these
back
men.
There?
Look at them. Look at where they are.
If we had done some editing, if he had done some editing.
Yes.
Mm.
As Hal said, if he had just released the video, that's different. You can't just say it's okay. All right. And Snowden's an entirely different story. Altogether, Jay Carney again.
We are evaluating the utility of a summit in light of this and other issues, but I have no announcement today on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're playing a game of we're not talking to you with Russia.
Putin had previously said, as you know, Snowden could stay in Russia only if he stopped harming the United States by releasing more classified information. I love this. Snowden had said he believed he met that condition because he already gave away all the classified data.
Oops, but then Greenwald says, oh, he has more. We have more to release. Just you wait. So which is it?
Oh, boy. All right. Lon Snowden, who is Edward Snowden's father.
Bottom line is my son could not receive a fair trial in the States today, but there's much more dialogue. This story is not going away.
I think he could receive a fair trial.
I do. Representative Steny Hoyer, Democrat of Maryland, yesterday.
Russia should be, could be, and I hope would be, a much more positive partner in trying to bring stability in areas of the world where we have insecurity and instability. They haven't been very good at that.
Yeah, honestly, I'm a little surprised that they would risk their relations with the U.S. over this jackalope. Joyce in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Joyce.
Oh, hey, Steph. Listen, Russia might be sorry that they let this guy in. I mean, if he did it to the U.S., what's going to stop him from trying to get his hands on something in Russia and doing the same thing to them? You know?
Like a guy cheating on you, right? With you know, on his wife.
Exactly.
Like,
if that's what he does, right. He's not going to stop doing it.
That's right. Exactly.
Putin's ex-KGB. I'm sure you would allow him to do that.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Oh, Jim, this is for you. Ben and Jerry's and a porn producer have settled a lawsuit.
Uh-huh.
A Southern California porn studio has reached an agreement with Ben and Jerry's not to release DVDs and other X-rated products whose names pay homage to the company's ice cream flavors. Affected will be Boston Cream Thighs.
Oh, really?
Chocolate Fudge Babes and Peanut Butter D-Cups. For those of you all paying attention. Get a sense of humor. Disney never sued the porn people in Times Square, the makers of The Little Spermaid and Poke My Hauntus.
Mm-hmm. Probably should have, but yes.
Oh, all right, speaking of porn, thank you to the person that sent the new turtle porn. We had yesterday's turtle porn, of course, was the, two turtles.
Turtles having
right,
sex.
Right. The very vocal male turtle and the very bored female turtle. But today, someone sent us, I believe it's a turtle, a croc shoe. Much like maybe that was an homage to, what's his name?
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre, who, as you know, his footwear of choice during masturbation is Crocs. Oh, God. Anyway, yeah. The, hmm?
Who thinks about footwear while they're doing
that? I'm not really certain, but this is the latest.
Someone with a shoe fetish, I guess.
We put this on our Facebook page just in case you want. Oh, that's cute. Okay. All right. Hang on. That's so cute. Okay, good. All right, now he's done. Okay.
Is that Brett Favre?
Oh, he keeps mounting the shoe and it keeps moving. Oh, he has to keep walking.
That shoe. You know he's.
Is it a crop?
That shoe wants it. Come on. Just laying there in the yard suggestively.
It's turtle colored, so right. You know, who can blame him?
Mitch McConnell has made that mistake.
It's a cute little, it's a little falsetto.
It is.
A falsetto turtle.
Oh.
Aw.
Oh, he's trying to hump a shoe.
Aw. And other totally unrelated turtle news, Kentucky Senate poll shows Allison Lundgren Grimes a serious threat to the unpopular Yertle
turtle. Makes me want to go
McConnell.
Hump a shoe.
Now, if video surfaces of him humping a croc...
An actual croc.
Elaine Chao would be upset.
Right.
Well, if it's an actual croc, it would be very dangerous.
Right. That would be exciting, but not that would not last long.
Not for long.
Like really dangerous sex.
Mounting a croc. It's not what they had in mind.
Yeah, this is an interesting poll. She's up 1 point, 45% to 44%. And at 51%, a majority of Kentuckians say they disapprove of McConnell's job performance, 40% approve. Do you want to know what Yertle said?
Sure.
George Soros and the Obama allies are up to their same old tricks. They've concocted another fictitious poll that has no basis in reality.
Uh-huh.
That's what they did. They did this during Romney, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
The poll's clearly wrong. This poll has zero credibility and should be ignored out of hand.
Well, then.
Well.
You told us.
There you go. Let's move along. Everyone move along. Hey, here's a good idea. We've been talking all morning about... inequality, blah, blah, blah. A Supreme Court ethics act proposed in response to controversial behavior by Justices Scalia and Thomas. A group of congressional Democrats set to introduce legislation that would apply stricter ethical standards for the Supreme Court amid concerns that the justices have been engaging in questionable behavior. Talking to you, Scalia and Thomas. Oh, we mentioned this yesterday, that Ginny Thomas? Of the,
please and thank you.
Right, of the 7:30 a.m. drunk dialing.
Allegedly
fame.
Drunk.
Oh. Who else called? Who calls someone at 7:30 in the morning and asks for an apology for something 20 years ago?
Someone drunk?
Just thinking, you know what?
You didn't apologize for the thing you did at that time. You know what I'm talking about?
You notice we all sound like Bill Cosby when we're drunk?
Well.
Vuka. Right. What's a Cuban? Who is this really?
Anyway, she's a well-connected Tea Party, please and thank you, consultant, and wife of Justice Clarence Thomas.
Ah, okay.
Held an Instagram wall in Groundswell, which we talked about. Mm-hmm.
What he said.
A conservative coalition of journalists and activists that have been meeting privately to coordinate talking points and messaging on key political issues. That smells so conflicty of interesty to me.
It really does.
Really? Currently, the Supreme Court's system for dealing with conflicts of interest, this is a good idea, or appearances of conflicts, is to leave it to each justice's own best judgment. That would be Clarence Thomas's own best judgment, including marrying Ginny, and also, you know, all the Anita Hill type allegations.
Yeah.
Okay. But Thomas took part in the Obamacare decision despite calls to recuse himself due to his wife's outspoken advocacy against the law. That sounds especially conflict of interesty. Scalia and Thomas attended a Coke Industries fundraiser in 2010.
Mm-hmm. Shocking.
Just months after siding with the majority in the landmark Citizens United case. I'm sure that's a complete coincidence. Which effectively empowered the aforementioned Koch brothers.
Aha!
Just got millions of dollars on conservative political. Just saying.
It's all
corporations über alles.
Pardon me?
Corporations über alles is what I call
exactly.
Yeah.
Skeletor, Governor Rick Scott, has demanded Jesse Jackson apologize for linking the Zimmerman trial to 60s-era Selma, Alabama.
Mm.
I think people like Rick Scott really underestimate the amount of emotion this has stirred up, and not just in black people.
Yeah.
Just people that, I don't know, have some crazy idea that maybe unarmed teenagers shouldn't be shot on their way home with Skittles. Jesse Jackson ignited controversy. He said the outcome in the trial of George Zimmerman was a threat to African-American civil rights on a scale unseen since the federal government forcibly integrated public universities in Selma, Alabama in the 60s. Yes, and Governor Scott demanded that Jackson apologize for his divisive comments.
Oh, shut up.
Jackson spent Tuesday night in the Capitol demanding the governor call a special session session to amend the state's Stand Your Ground whatever.
Law.
Whatever. I was going to say law, but it's whatever. It's the shoot your only
shoot
witness law.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is a great idea.
Sure.
Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You gotta admit, this is cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. You want to see something really hot? Check out Mama. Now that's a woman.
On some days.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. For you. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Oh, look, they're doing the aforementioned poll from Kentucky on the TV right now. Making Mitch McConnell go apoplectic.
Oh, dear. This is not good.
Exactly. He sounds like a little tiny pathetic turtle, not the big, you know, not the very white turtle. Okay. All right. Okay. Speaking of Wiener, Daily Beast has a great piece. Anthony Weiner AIDS rant is the capper to a campaign gone wild. You know, the aforementioned slutbag.
Yeah.
C-word, T-word, whatever.
We get
type
it.
Rant, right. Only from the Anthony Weiner mayoral campaign, it seems, could the word slutbag emerge. To compete with those indelible images of Anthony Weiner's erect penis, the New York City mayoral campaign now has a mental picture, the slutbag.
Mm.
It made the Twitter reverse explode yesterday.
Sure.
Was there ever a final conclusion on where you get the best slutbag?
Coach.
Coach? That's what I thought. Mm. Dolce & Gabbana was up there.
Yeah.
Daily Beast writing, when the question is raised on the Howard Stern show if you're jerking off too much to be mayor, you've generally lost control of your message. And however, you know the Barbara Morgan, the aforementioned purveyor of the slutbag word, she seems to be trying to be a good sport about it all. Yesterday afternoon she tweeted, "Not my best day yesterday, should have known better, been better, got to pay up." Attached was a photograph of a swear jar overstuffed with $100 bills and a Visa card.
Okay, that's funny.
No, that's funny.
That is funny. Gotta give it to her.
Me some salty babes.
What
you know.
An imprudent.
What if you had a swear jar?
Oh, yikes. just one commercial break I couldn't afford around here.
You've even cursed on the air.
Mm-hmm.
We've had to dump you.
Well, yeah. I'm getting on in age sometimes.
The FCC is the swear jar.
I'm sometimes startled by the microphone. And then, has that always been here?
Then sometimes you encourage the listeners to swear. Like that one time at the old station, remember?
Oh, no, I just didn't hear because I'm old and I was deaf.
Yeah, the listener said...
I was like, I'm sorry, what did you say?
The listener said, Stephanie Miller, you're a C word.
Oh.
I carefully dumped it, like
right.
Any...
Good radio...
Right, and then
pusher.
You said, what did you say?
Because I didn't hear it.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And at
they
that point,
it,
yes, and at that time, you know, you can't dump out of nothing because we've already dumped.
Right.
And so...
Okay, good to know.
Uh-huh.
Good to know. I will make a note.
What did
that.
You say? I didn't hear that. What did you say? Oh... Oh, I shouldn't have asked you that. Oh.
Huh, Daily Beast with an interesting article by Sally Cohn about female bosses. You two have any thoughts? Any thoughts? Any thoughts at all? She writes, there are two issues this incident raises. One is about the degree to which crass immorality pervades not just the Wiener, but his entire campaign operation in public life.
FNA.
Mm-hmm, right. The second issue, though, extends far beyond the minutiae of the Wiener train wreck into the much-debated dynamic between women bosses and their employees in the workplace. Oh, women bosses are the worst, a friend said to me when we were discussing this story.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Any thoughts around here? Still, most every woman in the workforce knows a particular sting that can only come from another woman. In general, it just hurts more when another woman calls you the C-word, she writes. Women who have female bosses report more headaches and anxiety than those with male bosses.
Hmm.
Ah. as a female, female boss is generally considered less likable.
Hmm.
You guys have gotten awfully quiet.
No, we're just, you know, taking it in.
Nothing but barroom doors.
Yeah. Oh.
Tumbleweeds. Interesting. Wiener's communications director, Barbara Morgan, provided a perfect example of how to not be constructive but catty and reinforce the centuries of sexism and stereotypes we should all be fighting to topple. Once again, the Wiener campaign helps drag America into a cesspool. Sally Cohn in the Daily Beast. I think I am delightful. You guys socialize with me. You come to my house, but only...
You make us.
Well, you're paid friends. All right. Oh, look at this. It's an article about Martha Stewart in a totally unrelated story.
Oh, of course, yes.
Huh. I bet she would be delightful to work for.
Oh, I've heard.
Martha Stewart doesn't trust anybody, and she has to control everything, a former employee tells... Really? Who does she think that's breaking news to? Really? She tells the new Vanity Fair.
Uh-huh.
She said Martha's an omnivore. She just wants more, more, more. She has however many houses, even though she has a million pieces of garden ornaments, she buys more garden ornaments. I bet you she has gazing globes. Because no one even knows what those are. I didn't know until I
had... Gazing globes? They're keeping gazing globes now? This is like the new Holocaust.
No, globes,
no it's not.
Yeah. Never mind. How many times a week do you think she goes garden gnome shopping in Connecticut? Who can say?
She's nothing but a fancy hoarder.
Am I going to die?
Even though she has a million trees, she buys more trees.
What?
It's a more, more, more thing.
Yeah, she's a hoarder.
Right. Hmm. Exactly. Well, like a billionaire hoarder.
Yeah.
Jim.
Hmm?
Nigella Lawson's divorce hearing.
Yes.
Lasted approximately 1 minute, so she is available now.
All right.
I hope she didn't choke during it.
Oh.
No.
See what she did there, because...
Her husband's...
Choked her.
Yeah.
Which isn't funny.
No, it's not funny at all.
Oh.
Gawker says 1,000 souffles puffed up toward the radiant summer sun in celebration today as Chef Nigella Lawson was officially granted a preliminary divorce from the old troll she accidentally married. For those in need of a refresher, here are some things Lawson's soon-to-be ex-husband, millionaire Charles Saatchi, has done since June. Number one, grab his wife's throat whilst the two shared a meal. Number two, publicly dismiss that incident as a playful tiff when photos of it were published in UK papers. Number three... announce to assure everyone Lawson was crying in the photos because we both hate arguing.
Right.
Number three, announce to a newspaper his intention to divorce her because she did not publicly dismiss the incident as a playful tiff. Despite Saatchi's stated intention to file for divorce from Lawson, court documents released on Wednesday list Lawson as the petitioner requesting divorce on the grounds of Saatchi's unreasonable behavior. Following a hearing that lasted either 70 seconds, according to The Guardian, or less than 1 minute, according to the BBC, the couple was granted a divorce. And scene.
Good for her.
Yeah, now that's a jackalope. That guy. That guy. Wow! Look at Hugh Jackman. Look, that looks like that could be you in the gym. Look at this.
I don't do deadlifts. I have a back, lower back thing, so I don't do deadlifts like that.
Yeah, that does not look healthy for anybody. Look at that. Look at how much weight he's lifting.
Ouch.
Ow.
Hugh Jackman taunts his Twitter followers. You don't walk around with a name like Hugh Jackman without being perpetually huge and jacked, according to... Of course, the pressures of maintaining a ripped physique do take their toll.
Yeah, like on your spinal cord.
Right.
And all your joints. I mean, oof.
He tweeted, if the bar ain't bending, then you're just pretending.
Really?
Ooh, that's macho gym talk.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He talks like that?
Yeah. He said, if the hashtags are to believe, Jackman fresh off his reprisal. Oh, he's playing Wolverine again. So he
again.
Up. He's currently deadlifting 400 pounds. That's a lot, right?
I don't deadlift, so I don't. I
hear his vertebrae crushing.
He's getting on in years, too. He really probably shouldn't be deadlifting that much.
No.
Mm. That's his Twitter taunt now. Do you even lift?
Okay.
That seems kind
of
douchey.
Well, he is Australian. So.
He's one of those guys in the gym. Yeah. I avoid those kinds of people.
Yeah. And the back of your neck looks like a package of hot dogs, so you know what you're talking about with gym talk.
Yeah, but I don't taunt people.
No, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, if someone asks me for advice, I give advice. You know, I'm not an a-hole in the
what
gym.
What sort of advice do people ask you for? How do I also get my neck to look like a pack of hot dogs?
Pretty much, yeah.
Where do I get those steroids?
Oh, stop it. I've never been asked for steroids.
Where do I get those hot dogs? So I can stick them in the back of my neck.
All right. Oprah says you cannot be her friend if you use the N-word.
Nasty?
No.
Norovirus?
No.
Nebraska?
Norovirus. Yeah, that's
North
it.
North Dakota?
That makes her insane.
Yeah.
Paula Deen's use of the N-word has cost much of her food empire. Ray Dong Chong recently used the N-word in talking about Oprah. Where does Oprah stand on the use of the N-word? Shockingly, she is against it.
Ah.
She said, you cannot be my friend and use that word around me. It shows my age, but I feel strongly about it. I always think of the millions of people who heard that as their last word as they were hanging from a tree. She was interviewed with Forrest Whitaker, co-star in the new film, Forrest Whitaker, mm-hmm. and director Lee Daniels about the new movie, The Butler. Whitaker said, I don't use the word, never did. Daniels admits that he's tossed it around. It's a word I've used quite a bit until Oprah sat me down and talked to me about it. When Oprah talks to you...
When she sits you down
right?
to talk to you.
When Oprah sits you down.
Yes. You listen.
Yeah, that's that. Anyway, and he, but he, this
I
is,
I want
you, know,
you dead. I want your family dead.
Right.
I want your house burned to the ground.
Oprah did not say that.
No. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, it's interesting because with this whole discussion about racism that came out of the Zimmerman verdict, they also talked about racism in America. Whitaker said, I've had many incidents in my life of racism. I've been thrown to the ground. I've been frisked. I've been arrested so many times I couldn't tell you. And these are obviously very, you know, well-to-do, successful black mm-hmm. people. Added Daniels, it's a given. I can't even get a taxi in New York. I send my white assistant out to get a taxi because I can't.
Wow.
And that's in 2013 if you think we're in a post-racial America. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
You get up, then you get down. That's right. Okay. All right.
Jim, once again, confused by song lyrics. 49 minutes. He's a little too literal. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Some more celebrity stack. How much fun is an old actress fight? Joan Collins and Shirley Jones.
Oh,
fight,
yeah.
Fight, fight. This brings me back to my Dynasty days, to the mud wrestling match with Linda Evans. Linda, what's her? Yeah, Linda Evans and Joan Collins. Remember?
Yeah. In the fountain.
Right. Eight-year-old Hollywood legend Joan Collins is livid at fellow icon Shirley Jones, insisting she is not some porn-watching swinger pervert.
Sorry, what?
And never was, despite claims in Shirley's new book.
Oh.
Fight, fight, fight. Now she's threatening Ms. Jones. Joan is pissed over one anecdote in particular, which Shirley recounts from her book, Shirley Jones, a Memoir. A story about the first time Shirley met Joan in the late 60s and a four-person sex party nearly broke out.
Uh-huh.
Well... apparently, it was about to all come together when Mom, you know, along. But according to the book, Shirley and her then-husband, Jack Cassidy, were at the home of Joan Collins and Tony Newley for dinner. And after dinner, Tony proposed they all get naked and watch porn together, as you do at a dinner party. Shirley writes, it was clear that what Tony was leading up to, swinging.
Oh.
79-year-old Shirley says she turned down the offer. Now, sources tell us Joan is accusing her of libel, insisting the story is bogus. We're told Joan has sent Shirley a cease and desist letter.
And we have an update.
Yeah. Oh. Uh-oh. May the book be removed, but Shirley's not backing down. She says the story is true. She's standing by it. Old women arguing over group sex and porn.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Yes.
And TMZ says that both Shirley and her publisher realize that they are no match for the most powerful woman in the world, Alexis Carrington, and have decided to erase the Joan story from the ebook, and it will not be in future reprints. Mm-hmm. Joan told TMZ, we all make mistakes. I've made a few myself, but not with Mrs. Jones. I am a serial monogamist.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
And poof, just like that, it never happened.
So you don't...
Go ahead, unhear that
yes.
now.
Poof, it went.
Unhear the story.
So you don't mess with Alexis Carrington.
Yes. It was terrifying. All right, this is good news. Amanda Bynes is doing remarkably better. Mm-hmm. She has stabilized, not hearing voices, because of a cocktail. Not that kind. Not the John Boner. Not the John Boner kind. She's at a doctor's at a psychiatric hospital where she's been held, are giving her a combination of meds referred to as a cocktail to control what appears to be schizophrenia. Yeah, she's one of those celebrities that passed from making fun of her weird to just like,
something's wrong.
Serious help weird. Yeah. Sources say she responded quickly and dramatically. We're told in the last 3 days Amanda has stopped talking to herself, stopped insulting people. To the contrary, we're told she's become downright polite, even saying please and thank you. She has shown no signs of violence. So, I hope it continues.
Yes, me too.
Good luck. All right. Oh, all right. What? Must I?
What?
Kesha.
Oh, Kesha. This story, yes.
Just when you think that there's nothing weirder that she could possibly say, she says something weirder.
Yeah.
She said, recently, I had a tail when I was born.
Ooh.
It was a tiny tail, about a quarter of an inch, and then they chopped it off and stole my tail. That was when I was little. I'm really sad about that story.
Okay.
A little bone, an actual bone piece.
Yeah.
Sticking out of her.
A vestigial tail.
Mm-hmm.
Right. God. Who doesn't have one of those?
Some people have them, and she's sad. It makes her has a sad.
She misses her tiny tail. Okay. That's just weird. Okay.
I don't imagine she has trouble getting, well, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, okay.
Yes. You know, especially since she brushes her.
That's where he was going.
Especially since she brushes her teeth with Jack Daniels.
Yes. That kind of girl.
Okay. All right. So we've been talking all morning because I thought it was just extraordinary, and I don't remember it ever happening before. This unbelievable, I would say it was a soliloquy. What is it? What was it, 14 minutes?
16.
16 minutes they let Ariel Castro talk, mm-hmm. and it's hard to even, like, keep track of the most offensive things he said. It basically said the sex was consensual. I didn't do this. He blamed the victims. It went on and on. Here is Ariel Castro yesterday.
Yeah, he said, people think I'm a monster, but I'm not a monster. I'm just sick. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you're a monster.
Right. And this is him talking about coming home. Meaning home to the and talking about the daughter that he
family.
Had by raping one of the girls, yes, imprisoning him there.
Every time I came home, I would be so bad for the situation. As crazy as it may sound, and my daughter, she just made every day for me after she was born.
Wait, something you said sounded crazy? What?
Yeah. No, don't be so hard on yourself. Yeah, he talked about how he loved his daughter. He's talking about the daughter that he had by raping the boy. He's saying, my daughter said I was such a great dad. And then Jim was saying that he had to sign the deed to the house over, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he said it made him sad because of all the happy memories there that he had with the girls. Mm.
Wow.
And meanwhile, there was Michelle Knight, who was incredibly brave. The other two had, I could understand either decision. The other two girls had someone else speak for them. Because who wanted to? And I don't know if they knew.
Face that again.
I don't know if they knew they were gonna. They would have to sit through that.
No, they didn't.
16 minutes of being basically calling them sluts, like saying, "Oh, I know they weren't virgins. They had other partners before me. You're not a partner. You're a kidnapper."
For it.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God, the whole thing was just. Yeah, I mean, she shouldn't have gotten in the car with me, and blah blah. I mean,
it's her
just,
fault.
Right.
Right.
Unbelievable. Anyway, so Michelle Knight, very brave, showed up and gave her own statement.
Days never got shorter. Days turned into nights. Nights turned into days. Years turned into eternity. I knew nobody cared about me. He told me that my family didn't care.
I mean, she is clearly permanently damaged, and yet, you know, that spirit, I mean, just when you try to imagine, when she play the one, this is, she's talking about the length of time.
You took 11 years of my life away, and I have got it back. I spent 11 years in hell. Now your hell is just beginning.
I mean, if you can imagine how long 11 years feels in those circumstances, it's just, it really is incredible. Anyway, and this was her final.
I will not let you define me or affect who I am.
die a little every day.
Oh, anyway, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. I would have had a lot more to say if it were me. All right, it's Friday. You know what that means? Drunk stack.
Yay, drunk stack.
Yay.
Future husband drunk stack. Don't you hate when this happens? Drunk man fell through hotel ceiling. I hate that when a drunk guy falls through the ceiling. She got into Lexington, Kentucky.
Ah.
Got into the attic at the Bluegrass Extended Stay Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
His stay was not extended.
No,
it would have been longer had he
cut
not.
Cut short.
Right. Before falling through the to the lobby floor below. He's fine.
I'm guessing alcohol was involved?
Yes.
It's fine.
Yes, that's what I said. The headline, drunk man.
Yes.
Fell through hotel. It's hard to do that sober. I've tried.
Really?
Uh-huh. And this one, British firefighter said they saved an apartment from destruction after its domestically challenged resident tried to dry his wet socks and underwear in a microwave.
Oh, boy. At least he didn't put something wrapped in foil in the microwave.
Well,
I don't know why
that's why he's
do
a
that.
Future husband, because I once tried to bake a potato here at work in tin foil and nearly blowed up the entire
No, you didn't try and bake a potato. You tried to microwave a potato.
Right. I totally forgot that you're supposed to only do that in the oven. Oops.
It's amazing your house hasn't burned down.
All right. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, T-Bone on phones and drums. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.